Hallelujah.
All right, we're going to go straight into the Word of God. And I'm supposed to preach or teach on a very interesting topic. The power dimension of faith. The power dimension of faith. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 14. The power dimension of faith. Everything in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away. O Ancient of Days, the power dimension of faith. First of all, talk about what power is before I go to the faith part. So what is power? Power, from my background in the secular world, you know, we use the things that are seen to explain the things that are not seen. By the grace of God, God has helped us to be useful both in the kingdom and in the society. And I enjoin every Christian in this new kingdom. We do full-time Christianity. Yes, we do full-time Christianity, but we don't do full-time, I don't know the word, full-time church service. The reality of the kingdom must be seen in the society. So if you don't have a place in the society, where will the kingdom see it? So what is power? Power is work done per time. In physics, it is called work done over time. So if you can get a job done at the least possible amount of time, it means that you have more power. In business, if I have two clients that came with a proposal, the last question we always ask is, sir, please, can you give me your timeline? When do you expect this job to be completed? Now, the one that tells you that he will complete it at the least amount of time, in your mind, you assume that that person is more efficient. So that person has more power. If I order goods in two different websites or using through two different logistics company, the one that delivers on time, the one that delivers fastest, is likely the one that I will return as a customer to. If two men of God are casting out demons, the one that does it fastest is the Jim Jim man of God. You know, I think a man of God gave a testimony about one of our fathers in the faith, Pastor W.F. Kumui. He said there was a day, the man, after ministration, he was walking out. So on the way, a man was being held. You know, these demons, I don't know why demons are always loud. I've never seen demon-possessed people that are quiet. In fact, when you see demon-possessed people that are quiet, those ones are the most dangerous ones. Those loud ones, you don't need too much. Those ones are just drama, drama. When you go high in the realm of the spirit, you stop making too much noise. So when the ushers, you know, he was disturbing everybody, and the ushers were holding him. So when our papa was walking out, he made a statement. He said, leave him alone. So the ushers, they thought he was telling them to leave the man. Within the next few seconds, they saw that the man that was doing gra-gra became what? Quiet. So the demon has already what? Left him. But the ushers, we are thinking that what? He was giving them instruction. So under the space of 2 seconds, what happened? The demons what? Left. You know, the Bible talked about Jesus when he was going to a city, or when he was in the temple, the demons from far, listen to me, the demons, without shouting, "Hey, you foul spirit," they started what? Jumping out of people. If you, real power does not take time to get the work done. If you are struggling, I think a friend or one of our papas was giving us a testimony. He said that there was this demon that she dealt with for the whole day. The whole day was this demon. If it takes you too long to get that job done, go and check it very well. Listen to me. I know that if I give you 100 years, you can be a billionaire. I know that if I give you 50 years, that your church will grow to 2,000. Well, you don't have time. That's the problem with time. You need to get that job on time. See, one of the words I pick out from this program is, it was from P. Daniel. He said, some people have become too old for God. I wrote it down. See, watch it. You are getting too old for God. Before you know it, God would have moved to the next generation. You think that God will wait for you for all these years so that you can achieve something that he can pick 2 or 3 people that can do it faster? No, the kingdom doesn't wait for anybody. Tell your neighbor, the kingdom doesn't wait for anybody. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 27, the NLT version. It says that a truly wise person uses few words. A truly wise person uses few words. So what it takes me 10 hours to communicate, a man that has mastery, it will take him 5 minutes to communicate it. I think someone said that in the table of so many ideas, the one that can communicate the clearest and the fastest is the one that will take the job. So some of you, the things that are in the kingdom, they are too much. But how do you communicate it to somebody that is in elementary school? This is why some pastors struggle. They know so much. They have so much, but they cannot communicate it what very fast. Because the world is not waiting. In fact, the worst thing that has happened is that we live in the social media age that attention span is too short. In fact, when I go to YouTube now, most of the things that bless my life are the YouTube shorts. Just give it to me 1 second, 1 minute. Let me hear your story and I'm done with it. So this is why you need what? To get the job done. What? On time. Tell your neighbor, you must get the job done on time. Don't just get the job done, but get it done on time. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. The Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. We are in thy kingdom conference or convention. So what does it mean? The kingdom of God is not in activity. It is in productivity. Words are activity. You know, words are energy. But sometimes words, some people call it mere words. When a word cannot get the job done, it becomes what? Mere word. You are just pouring water on stone. Have you talked to, for some of us that have teenage children, if you talk to some wonderfully blessed teenage children and they are just nodding like this for you, just know that you are pouring water on what? On sand. You are not functioning at their what? Frequency. Is when you have children. Oh my God. It's not an activity. It's not in doing programs. After that, your program, how many people came? What is the increase of that program? It is not in running around. I think it was Jesus that told Martha. He said, you work yourself too much. I am in the house, but you are busy in the kitchen. You are busy tending to guests. You are busy going up and down. But he said that what Mary chose was the best. And what is the best? Staying in the presence. A lot of people, you know, church workers, most times, I think the reverend that preached yesterday said, old believers, they are the least people that get transformation. And it's because of this activity. Activity. You know, say to yourself, I will move from activity to productivity. Say, I move from activity. No, you are not saying it very well. To productivity. Today, I'm not here to tickle your sensational. I'm still building activity to productivity. So let's go back to our opening scripture. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 to 15. So we found out a group of people, a group of Christians. Now, these guys are already in the kingdom, but they were performing an activity without much productivity. So I'll start, maybe you give me the King James Version. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came him a certain man, kneeling down and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and so vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft in the water. I want to first start by saying that power is measured by problems. The Bible says that if you faint in the days of adversity, your strength, your power is little. When the pressures and the problems of life come to you and you shake, it means that what? Go and check your power. It is not the strength of the problem. It is the power that is in you. So when we want to measure how powerful you are, we check what you can do. What problems can you lift? What problems can you solve? As I was saying before, a lot of believers, they are very useful in the kingdom. But when they come outside, some of you cannot advise a governor. Hello? You cannot advise a governor. But if you check in the Bible, even Paul advised governors. The Bible said he talked to them about righteousness, justice, and then he now talked to them about the life after. He advised Felix. But some of you, they take you to, what is governor? Counselor. You will not know what to tell him. My wife told me, said, you see my daughter, from 1 to 4 years, I will take care of her school and our homeschooling. But from 4 years down to university, I will hand her over to you. Do you know why? After 4 years, she starts solving what? Mathematics. So I can be useful from now to 4 years. But after 4 years, when the problems, the difficult problems of mathematics come, my strength will not sustain it. So I will push him over to you. Now, is it not what happens to Christians? There are some problems that when they come, you solve on your own. But it gets to a point where a problem will come. You start calling pastor. Immediately you have need to call pastor for your personal problem. Go and check it. Your strength cannot carry that problem. That's just what it means. And in this kingdom, everybody is empowered.
So why do you need another man to solve a problem that you have been empowered to solve? Tell your neighbor, get more power. Say, get more power. You need more power. A man of power is always in charge. When I'm talking about power, I'm not talking about laying hands. No. Be in charge. When difficult problems come, who do they call? As a man in your house, I always tell people, whenever a pastor needs to disciple your children or mentor your children, you have failed as a pastor, as a father. You might not be a pastor, but you are the pastor of that household. Don't give up that right. Don't give up that privilege. How will somebody fall sick in the house and you have to call? You do it. That's what Jesus told his disciples when the multitude came. They came to disturb him. You know, these people, they were still learning about the kingdom. He said, the multitude are here. There is no food. Jesus said, you give them food. But unfortunately, they couldn't. So they now had to call him again. You give them food. You provide that solution. You bring out that idea. Let's go on. Verse 16. Are we still here? And I brought him to thy disciples. But look at what happened. They couldn't cure him. Now, who has the... You know, Pastor Sam said something in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. He said, if I cast out demons, then the kingdom has what? Come. Well, go and read Matthew 10:1. He said, Jesus came and he called all his disciples and gave them power against what? Unclean spirits. So what was he saying? When he gave them this power, what does he mean? The kingdom has come. You now have power to chase away devil. You now have power to chase away devil from every territory. As Pastor Sam said yesterday. However, these people, they could not do it. He said what? They could not cure it. I want to say that assessing the kingdom without experiencing the kingdom leads to frustration. A lot of people have access to the kingdom. Yes, they have entered. You know, in the kingdom, there are two things. One is the entrance. The other one is the enjoyment of the privileges. I can even add the third one, the expansion of the kingdom. It's three levels. You enter, you enjoy the privileges, and then you expand the kingdom. But some people have entered, but they don't have what? The experiences they are supposed to have in the kingdom. Challenges, as they still don't have the dominion they are supposed to have as a result of citizens in the kingdom. Have you ever heard of an American citizen living in Nigeria? Have you ever heard of an American citizen going on social media to beg money? It's not possible. There are certain privileges an American citizen will have. David said that I am old now, but I used to be young before. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, neither his seed beg bread. How can a man of the kingdom beg bread? How can a citizen of the kingdom be oppressed? You hear people, you hear some certain stories. A Christian is sleeping in the night how do you people have those dreams? Me, I don't understand though. I've never had it before. You are sleeping in the night and say someone is pressing you. Me, most of, 90% of my, me, I forget them. 90% of my dream. Proverbs say that dreams are as a result of what? Activities during the day. It's not every dream that you have, you know, they tell you that someone's so and no, forget those things. When you have power, when they come, you speak a contrary word to those dreams and you negate them. Somebody say power. Power. I can't hear you. Say power. This morning, you're going to leave here empowered. Now, listen, the kind of power you will receive is the power to enjoy, the power to live in kingdom reality, to be a true portrait of the kingdom. I wish I would have showed you this scripture. A testimony was given about a man called Barnabas. The Bible said he was a good man, righteous, and full of the Holy Ghost. That's a kingdom man. A good man, righteous, and full of the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to be a good man? Not good man, like, good man is that what? He's influencing, he's doing good in the neighborhood. How God anointed Jesus with Holy Ghost and with what? Power. Who went about what? Doing good. This is what the kingdom has called you to be. To be a problem solver. To be a solution to the cry of people. How can a kingdom man be saying that he needs a destiny helper? When your destiny has already been helped. Just once you receive heavenly passport, your destiny has been helped. And you are still waiting for a destiny helper. Let's move on. So you can enter into the kingdom. Access without experience leads to frustration. Now, why are we talking about, let me bring it back to faith. So why are we talking about faith? Because you need faith to first of all enter. And you also need faith to enjoy. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. I'll read the King James Version and I will read the NLT Version. Give me the King James Version first. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by what? Faith. But give me the NLT version. This King James did not do good justice. He said what? The good news tells us how God made us right in his sight. So how we entered into the kingdom. This is accomplished from start to finish. By what? So how do you enter the kingdom? No, I can't hear you. How do you enter the kingdom? He said from start to what? To finish was accompanied by what? Faith. Say, I enter by faith. I enter by faith. I don't know how you entered your own kingdom. Maybe you entered through gimmicks. You know, some people entered into the kingdom because they came for bread. Some people entered into the kingdom because they came for another thing. Some people entered into the kingdom because they came through, they wanted power. Is it not? I think it was Simon or Elimas. When one of the apostles was preaching about the kingdom, he saw what was happening. He said, what? Let me enter too. And he was pretending until Peter showed up. He fooled Philip. Until one day a man of the kingdom with authority showed up. And then he saw the move of the Holy Ghost. He said, give me this power also. Give me this enjoyment also. Okay, you ready? He said, well, thy money perish. You said it before I came. So how you enter, we determine. If you entered by faith, then this is the catch. You must also enjoy it by faith. If you entered by faith, you must also. So how you entered, you know, the source determines what? The sustenance. If you entered by faith, you must enjoy the benefits by faith. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, quickly. He said, get rid of the yeast, saying, by removing the wicked person from the dough. For Christ is our Passover. Now give me the King James Version. He said, purge ye therefore the old living, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unliving. For even Christ is our Passover. Then if you read down, you will hear that what he said, that for we walk by faith and not by sight. A kingdom man lives by what? By faith. We don't walk by sight. So you enter by faith and you enjoy by faith. So if you are here and you have not been experiencing some of these benefits, if you are here and you have not been experiencing some of the blessings of the kingdom, this morning you will receive the power. You will receive, your faith will be activated so that you can enjoy them. I said your faith will be activated this morning so that you can enjoy them. We live by faith and not by sight. We don't observe the lying vanities that we see. The kingdom life is lived only through faith. It cannot be lived by senses. It cannot be lived by the kingdoms. Listen to me. I think it was Tony Richie that said, other kingdom, there are other kingdoms too. There are other kingdoms. If you don't live by faith, those other kingdoms will overwhelm you, overpower you. Let's go back by 17. Verse 17. So these disciples have already entered into the kingdom, but they could not do the things that kingdom citizens are supposed to do. They have received Jesus, but they cannot live the life of Jesus. Now look at verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? I hear the Spirit asking this question. How long shall you live a powerless Christianity? How long shall you live below the standard that I have given you? How long shall you practice activity without productivity? How long shall you keep running around without showing any fruit or evidence of the new life that you have in Christ? How long shall I live, be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Verse 18. I'm going somewhere. And Jesus rebuked the devil. Did they say, and Jesus prayed for the man? Hello? Please, are we still together? Did you hear, and Jesus prayed for the man? He said what? And Jesus what? Rebuked the devil. And the devil shook his body. Hello? And the devil resisted. He said what? And the devil what? Departed out of him. Real power makes the word of God look easy. You know, when you don't have power and you want to pretend like our fathers in the faith, my brother, you will make a mockery of yourself. You want to go and do, leave him. Go and do, leave him now. Go and do it, leave him. Maybe something will leave you. Look at what Jesus, effortlessly, he said what? He rebuked him. He didn't pray for him. And the devil departed out of him. Now, I want to speak to you. If Jesus could produce this result, it means that you can also produce it. He said that the things that we are written for us are for time. They are for our learning so that we can what? Learn through faith. So that we can practice it. If Jesus can rebuke evil spirits, you too, you can rebuke evil spirits. If Jesus can walk on water, you too, you can walk on water. If Jesus cannot lack, you don't have any right to lack. Say, I must produce the result of Jesus. No, I can't hear you. Say, I must produce the result of Jesus. Say, listen to me. I wish we can pray in the Holy Ghost. Say, I will live here looking like Jesus. I will live here looking like Jesus. See, the purpose of we coming here is to look like Jesus. It's nothing else. I will live here producing the result Jesus produced. If Jesus can rebuke evil spirits, me too, I will live here with authority to rebuke evil spirits. I will live here looking like Jesus. I will live here looking like Jesus. I must live the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus is the life of the kingdom. He said he rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. He didn't struggle with the devil. And the child was cured From that very hour, it's not tomorrow. From that very hour, immediate result. Jesus produced immediate result. You too, you will produce immediate result. I can't hear your loud amen. I say you too, you will produce your immediate result. Verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Now, this is very key for you to understand. You know, a lot of believers stop at this level. When they try and it doesn't work, they enter into their shell. Pastors, you know this one. The first day you tried to cure, maybe to pray for the sick, did it really work? When they try, you know, a lot of people, they give sincerely, they give prophetic words, and then it doesn't happen. And they get discouraged. A friend of mine shared with me, he said, I was ministering one day, and the Holy Spirit told me that somebody here has a certain sickness, just like our pastor mentioned about a certain sickness. Come out, let me pray for you. Omo, this man waited for 30 minutes, nobody came. And you know, if you're a young minister, you will keep struggling, you keep going around the bush, you keep saying it. Well, he said something. He said, after the meeting, a young man called me and said, I'm the person that you've been calling. I was ashamed to come out. In the eyes of everybody, that guy looked like he was fake. And that guy that had that sickness cannot even come out in the public to say that this is what I've done. So when things like this happen, there is a tendency for you to be discouraged. There is a tendency for you to even tell Jesus, which kind of kingdom? Are you sure that this kingdom is really true? This thing you are telling us, this authority that you gave us, are you sure that you don't have another authority that you have just between you and the Father that you have not given to us? Some pastors here now, you will be saying, is it this anointing that Pastor Sam has? I am his son, but I'm not seeing this thing. And if the devil can use that and make you to what? To draw back. But look at what they did. They said what? They came and asked Jesus, how did you do this? How did you do this? How did you do this? See, it's not about how you failed. Replication actually starts from observation. If you want to replicate any result, you must be careful to observe what happened. I think it was Pastor Sam, my brother, that said it the first day. He said, a lot of Christians don't study systems. When somebody is producing results, they conclude in their mind that this person is fake. When somebody is riding Jeep, they conclude in their mind that this person belongs to occult. When somebody is in politics, 90% of the Nigerian Christians believe that person is in a secret society. You think all politicians are in cult? There are powers that are stronger than the powers of politicians. In fact, this is one of the areas that God is calling some Christians to go. Daniel was in Babylon. Oh, you didn't know that there were magicians in Daniel was the head of three princes in Babylon. You think those three princes are not Christians? They tried everything to kill him. They could not. Tell your neighbor, observe. Say, ask question. Don't give up. Study that system. If you want to get to the top, study that system. Replication is gotten from observation. Don't envy people's results. Don't envy people's results. Study their process. And that brings me to verse 20. And Jesus now explained. Because when you are diligent enough to ask questions, you will now understand how these things work. If you pay attention, if you don't get distracted, you understand how it works. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, So Jesus said that the problem is not because of the devil. The problem is because of you. I came here to tell you the reason why you are not experiencing that result is because of what? It's because of you. Tell yourself, my problem is myself. This is the highest truth that people don't like. I overheard my wife yesterday talking to somebody. A lady came to complain to her about probably the fiance. I don't know the person, I just overheard. So she came to complain so that my wife will sympathize with her. Unfortunately, my wife said, no, you had a problem. What do you want that man to do? That your character might be the problem why you are not in that marriage. Oh. That your mismanagement might be the reason why you are not promoted in your office. Jesus said, the problem is your unbelief. It is not what is happening around you. It is in you. We have to tell ourselves real truth. Excitement is good. I know who I am. But has God transformed your character? I know who I am. Your mind is still small. I love what P. Daniel said. He said, God told him, if you want me to use you as a global minister, I can't work with this, your small mind. I can't work with this, your small mind. You can't stand a man talking to your fiance and you want to be in marriage. Small minds. You can't stand another, you know, let me not go there. No, I'm not going there. It will affect the people in the front row. So what is the power dynamics of faith? The power dynamics of faith is what? The faith that can get the job done. You know, I started with the topic, the power dynamics of faith. So Jesus was telling them what? Let me show you how to be productive in the kingdom. Let me show you how to do these things. Let me show you how faith works. So when I talk about the power dynamics of faith, what did I say? It is the faith that works. So my subtopic is what? The faith that works. Not every faith works. Because if every faith would have worked, then every believer would have been living in the reality of the kingdom. The faith that works. So let's go on. Verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now he made a profound statement. He said, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of what? Mustard seed. So Jesus was telling them that what? This problem is a faith problem. But it is not about the size of your faith. Because a lot of believers, they will think that, this my faith is not enough to take this city. This my faith is not enough to perform this miracle. This my faith is not enough to get promoted in this job. This my faith is not enough to move this mountain. But Jesus said that what? It is not about the size of your faith. So the first statement I want to make is that what? The faith that works does not consider size. The faith that works, the faith that will be powerful, is not size conscious. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. What is a mustard seed? A mustard seed is so little. I think my friend brought it for me one day. Very, very tiny brown seed. The faith that works does not underrate itself and magnifies its problem. You know, that was the problem. It is because of this thing that the children of Israel spent extra 40 years in the wilderness. A group of people went into the promised land to inquire of the land. By the way, the first issue was that God did not tell Moses to send spies. In fact, Moses was the one that decided, I will go and send spies to the children of Israel. And God said it in the word of God. And then 10 people came and gave a bad report. Very evil report. They said that these men look like grasshoppers. These men look like grasshoppers. Numbers 13:33. What were they doing? They were considering the size of what? The opposition. A faith that must walk must not consider the size of the opposition. A faith that works must not magnify their problems. Look at our father of faith, Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Quickly, Romans 4, 19. You will see the faith that works. He said, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead." Listen, a faith that works does not consider the circumstances. It does not consider his own body. It does not consider the territory. A faith that works does not consider the competition. You might be in that business and you are the last person that came into that line. It doesn't mean that you will be the last person with the least income. You might be the last person that was employed. It doesn't mean that you will not be promoted. The faith that works does not consider opposition. He said that he considered not his own body. So what does the faith that works consider? He considers the size of the God that he has anchor of that faith. The faith that works does not consider the opposition. Considers the God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. David made a profound statement. When he was about to attack Goliath, he said, "You come with your arsenal, you come with your opposition, but I come in the name of my God." I want to tell you this morning, if you can take the name of your God to every army, if you can take the name of your God to any battle, you will come out victorious. I say, if you can consider the size of your God in every battle, you will come out victorious. Say, "I come in the name of my God." I say, "Say, I come in the name of my God." Look at Peter. Peter was exercising faith. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 30, the Bible says that when he started considering the boisterous wind, what happened? He started sinking. When you remove your eyes on the size of your God and start considering the size of your circumstances, what will happen? You will start sinking. The reason why it looks as if you are slowing down, the reason why it looks as if you're experiencing the result of every other person in the system, in the economy, is because of what? You have removed your eye on your God. Where Pastor Sam read, he said that my God shall supply all my need according to the riches of his what? Glory. So a kingdom man does not work with GT Bank. A kingdom man does not work with First Bank. His economy is not centered on the Central Bank of Nigeria. The economy of a kingdom man is from what? The riches in his glory. The riches according to his glory. That is where you get your supply from. So when you live your life, when you remove your eye from the bank of heaven and fix your hand on the Central Bank of Nigeria or the Central Bank of America or Bitcoin, you know, that's where the world is going now. What will happen? One day you will sink. You will move from Bitcoin to B. You know, after every three months, we have episodes of sinking Bitcoin sellers. Just wait for them. They will be excited this week. After like 3 months, you will hear what is happening in the market. And a lot of pastors have been sinking with Bitcoin sellers. Say, "My faith is anchored on the Lord, my God." The second thing about the faith that works, let's go on quickly. Matthew verse 20. He said, if, verse 20, not Philippians 4, Matthew 17, 20. Let's go on. I'm rounding up. He said, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed," if you don't consider the size of the challenges and focus on the size of your God, He said what? You shall say unto what? This mountain. The second thing about the faith that works is that it is active. Tell your neighbor, it is active. There was a day I was about to minister. You know, there are certain topics that when you want to minister, you would like to share your experiences. Hello? There are certain topics that when you want to preach, you have to. That's why I love men like Papoma of the blessed memory. When he comes, he doesn't just talk. He tells you all the things that God has done through him. So when I wanted to minister, I told God, I don't have the result to show, you know, to preach this message. You know what the Spirit of God told me? He said, the day before Jesus performed his first miracle, was this thing not Jesus? He said, there is an adage in Igbo land that said, how many cows will you kill before they call you a Obuefi? Just one cow. He said, go ahead, do the first miracle. You don't need to tell them that you've done just one. He said, I will do one. And then from there, we will go on. Listen to me. So after that encouragement, I went to the ministration. I got testimonies. See, the faith that works cannot stay one place. The faith that works is not passive. The faith that works is not crippled by fear. Whenever you want to exhibit, I think Pastor Tony Richie was saying, whenever you want to exercise kingdom dominion, whenever you want to live your kingdom life, the enemy will come. The first way he comes is through fear. We dealt with that on Tuesday. I think Pastor Shola. He comes through fear. But the faith that works must be bold, though. Look at what happened in the story of Jesus. A man, Jesus was holding a crusade. A man could not get in. And what do they do? What did they do? They broke the roof and threw the leper inside. And then after Jesus performed that miracle, he said what? What a great faith. The woman with the issue of blood was stopped by the crowd. Every other person is saying, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, look at my condition. The woman said what? If I will touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made what? Whole. So while everybody was asking Jesus, Father, please help me, she was struggling to what? To touch the hem of his garment. Listen to me. If you live here, you will stop this, your God, help me prayer. God, help me prayer. God, heal my sickness. No. Sickness, leave that body. God, give me a job. No. Tomorrow, I am getting that job. Abraham was not weak in faith. At 100 years, he went to sleep with his wife. Action. He went to sleep with his wife. James chapter 3 says that faith without works is dead. Some people operate with dead faith. And what is dead faith? Any faith that does not have action. Any faith that cannot take proactive decision. Any faith that is passive cannot produce results. I came here to tell you this morning that you must add action to your faith. For your faith to produce power, add action to it. Oh my God, I'm running out of time. I will just conclude. Just give me the last verse, verse 21. It said, so I've no, give me back verse 20. I'm now rushing and I'm concluding. He said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence from yonder place, and it shall be removed. And then he ended with a statement. He said what? And nothing shall be impossible to you. So it means that what? If you can do this thing, it works all the time. Pastor Sam was successful in Nsubo. He came to Asaba. He's still successful. If you want to keep producing results,
Apply this. The faith that works, works all the time. I said the faith that works, what? Works on. The faith that you need to heal the sick is the same faith that you will need to enter that marriage. The faith that you need to raise the dead is the same faith that you need for that promotion. It works all the time. Say it works all the time. And then finally, verse 21, Jesus tied it up. He said, how be it, this kind goeth not out by prayer and by fasting. So what was Jesus saying? And that is the third point about the prayer that works, about the faith that works. It is fueled by intimacy and fellowship. The reason a lot of you don't have faith is because you don't have a relationship, an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 4 said that Abraham was not weak in faith. Why? Because he held on to the promises of God. Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and what hearing, the where do you hear the word of God? You think it's the Bible that he's talking about? It's not only the Bible. The Bible to Abraham was what? That word that God told him in the place of fellowship, in the place of communion. Notice that Jesus did not pray and fast at that moment. Hello? It was the fasting that he had done before that caused the healing or that caused the deliverance. So Jesus was saying that for you to exercise faith effectively, you must have a secret place. You cannot enjoy the kingdom. We are not going to. I know who I am. I have all things in Christ. If there is no secret place, you cannot enjoy that benefit. Listen to me. Your faith might be little, but don't let it grow weak. And how do you let it not to grow weak? Strengthen it in the secret place. Please bow your heads and let us pray. Every king in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you are exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away. O ancient of days. Father, I pray that you strengthen the faith of your people. Now I pray for you. Is there any mountain in your life that needs to be removed this morning? The mountain of sickness. Anything in your life that does not truly represent the kingdom. By my faith this morning, I remove it. There's a woman here. You are suffering from hepatitis. Hepatitis. Now I speak to that sickness. Leave that body now. Eye problem, leave that body now. Pain, leave that body now. There are some people here, you are suffering from nutrient deficiency. Nutrient deficiency is a sickness. I speak to you now. Let those nutrients be replaced now. In the name of Jesus. The faith is not only to remove mountains. There is also faith to acquire. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, or verse 3 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now I declare to you, you will live here with your own portion of substance. He said, we understand that the worlds we are framed by the word of God. And the things that are seen, we are made from the things that are not seen. I don't know the things that you want to add into your life. The Bible says, and listen. In fact, you will pray for 1 minute. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the earth was without form and void. And God said, faith, you must say something. You must say something this morning. I give you 1 minute. Whatsoever you want to frame in your life, look out to your 2026.
Whatsoever you want to frame in your life, I give you an opportunity now. Can you add it into your life? Can you add it into your life? Pray in the Holy Ghost and add it into your life. Pray in the Holy Ghost and add it into your life. You want health? Add it into your life. You want dominion? Add it into your life. You want wisdom? Add it into your life. You want power? Add it into your life. For we understand that the walls we are framed by the word of God. The things that are not seen can be framed by the things that we see. The things that are not seen can be framed by your mouth. Your mouth is not just for eating. You can also create your world with your mouth. Create your world this morning. Create your world this morning. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Is there someone I want to move to the next level? Begin to speak to that next level. Begin to speak to that next level. Paratosi palia talapa. I want more. I want more. I want more. In the name of Jesus. We don't have time. Fear is what paralyzes faith. Now I speak to any man here that is tormented by the spirit of fear. Let that spirit depart from you now. Where the word of the king is, there is authority. Every spirit of fear that paralyzes a man from fulfilling his potential, every spirit of fear that paralyzes a man from taking bold step, now depart from that body now. A young man, the son of Gideon, after Gideon killed a king, he brought him and said, "My son, my first son, take the sword and kill him." The Bible said that he could not kill the man because he was afraid, for he was a youth. Some of you, the reason why you are where you are is because of what? Why fear is paralyzing you is because of what? You have childish mind. Now every childishness in your body, every childishness in your body that leads to fear, disappear in the name of Jesus. Move forward in the name of Jesus. Take that territory in the name of Jesus. Take dominion in the name of Jesus. Claim your inheritance in the name of Jesus. Paul told Timothy, hold on to eternal life. Ejira aka nwatakili ejide ife na taalu. You can translate it in English. You don't hold kingdom responsibilities with weak hands. Lift up your hand. Every weak hand I lift up now. Every weak hand I lift up now. Every weak hand I lift up now. Every weak organ I lift up now. You are a man, you don't have authority over your home. I don't know who I'm ministering to. Maybe because of money, maybe because of finances. Now I pray that the favor of the Lord will visit you now. Regain your authority now. I say, regain your authority now. Take back your position now. I say, take back your dominion now. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Nobody will leave this conference without being the full portrait of what a kingdom man will look like. You will not leave here before Sunday. When people see you, they will ask, is Saul also among the prophets? That will be your testimony. I said that will be your testimony. But don't forget the secret place. Everything I've received in the kingdom is from the secret place. Only one man has ever laid hands on me. And I don't wish for people to lay hands on me. In the secret place. Please don't forget that. Build your secret place. That's how to grow your faith. The Lord bless you. Thank you, Pastor Sam.